Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CapRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and cap roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your cap roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown.
Hey everyone, this is your co-host Lillian with another breakaway episode on The Breakdown. This week we have a real treat, a conversation with the 2024 BFI Breakaway Champion, Macy Young. Now, if you've met Macy, you know she's usually not the chattiest, but we covered a lot of ground today and picked up a few little nuggets that I think apply to a lot of us in the competition arena. But before we jump in, I want to recap Macy's BFI. She entered twice on her horse Boomer, so a total of 6 runs at the E, and she came back first and 7th high call in the short go. Her winning aggregate was 10.63 seconds on 3 head, and she gathered up a total of $17,500 for her first place finish. Her 3 winning times were 3.48, 3.45, and 3.7 seconds. In second place was the Breakaway Roping Journal's own Kayla Lombardo, who had an aggregate of 13.05 on 3. Kayla's a fastback ropes girl, which is perfect because we have fastback to thank for bringing you this episode. We'll chat a little bit more about them later, but now we're jumping into Macy's BFI. It's time to rope. Let's go. Well, good morning, Macy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for taking some time to chat. First of all, congratulations. I have to start off with the biggest question. What does winning something like the BFI mean to you?
You know, it means a lot. It's a pretty prestigious breakaway open. It's always a tough setup, and you really got to have the cards in your hand for that day because it's no joke. You show up there and it just really shows horsemanship whenever you go to the BFI, and that just means a lot to me, knowing that my horse has taken me to the pay window twice over there, and that means more to me than anything.
Mm-hmm. The Lazy E certainly shows who's mounted, who's not, who's ready, who's not. It's a tough setup over there.
It is probably one of the toughest setups you're going to go to all year long. It's wild how far they had let him out there this year and how fast those calves were. It was insane.
Mm-hmm. How much were you seeing over there?
For me, I was seeing hit by the end of the gate. And my husband told me that, and I was like, you're crazy. That's way too much. And then I got over there, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty safe. I better see all of that.
Okay. And I just want to know how winning the BFI, you won it twice now, once in 2021 and now 2024, how this measures up to some of the other things that you've won throughout your career.
You know, this one's really special because it tests your limits as a roper, your horsemanship, all of it to the core. It's kind of like Cheyenne. You got to make sure, have all the confidence in the world that your horse is going to stand there and score sharp every single time and see the calf, because you got to run them down. And it's just awesome to back in there 6 times and have a horse that's going to stay with you right there and still run them down, not short you out, but give you 110% every time you nod your head.
Right, because you entered twice. That's a lot of faith in your horse.
Yeah, this was a lot running those calves down. And mm-hmm. I could see it the next day. He was a little tired. And he never looks tired or acts tired, but he was like, that was a lot. Because I don't do a lot at home on him when I take him somewhere. But he was good.
Yeah. And he looks like a pretty big horse. Is he big or are you just tiny?
he is. He's like 15-1, I would say. He's on the bigger side. He's not an ideal breakaway horse for a lot of people, but I am just being able to to ride him from start to now. I've just gotten used to helping you. I prefer bigger horses now, actually.
Okay. Kind of keep the size a little bit similar throughout your string.
Well, I would like to, but my second string horse, he's small, like really small. So it's kind of a big difference when I get off my bay to the other one. But that's what I have to work with right now. So.
Yep. So for you, you said you don't ride him a lot at home, but how do you prepare for a setup like the BFI?
So it was kind of a weird situation. We're going to San Angelo, and this is so bizarre, but we were in San Angelo for my husband to rope on the 2nd, mm-hmm. and then we had a few days off, and he wanted to go to the casino really bad with his friend that lives in Bonham. And he's like, well, let's just go to the BFI. And we were in San Angelo. I just thought we were going to San Angelo for both of us to rope. And then we ended up driving over there and ended up going to the BFI one of the days that we had off from San Angelo. So when we pulled out of the driveway, we weren't really even thinking we were maybe going to go over there. But we just ended up going over there. So I didn't get to prepare or anything for that.
That's absolute insanity. I had no idea.
Yeah. I called the Coat Saddlery booth and asked if they would go enter me in the late entry portion. And they did the day before the roping.
Wow.
And we just drove over there and roped.
Okay. So it's kind of like, it could be a pro or a con. Because you didn't have time to overthink it, but you didn't have time to overthink it. So,
yeah, actually, before I left, I was trying to go at some calves on some practice horses, knowing that San Angelo was going to be a shorter setup. And that horse, I just exercise him at home, or he goes out the front pasture with Hadley's little pony and chills during the day. But it's rarely that I will take him to any jackpots around Wickenburg, or I rarely practice on him. He's just ready for anything.
Yeah, he's earned his keep.
Yeah, he's young and he's sound, but I just don't want to use him up. Everybody asks me all winter, well, why don't you ride Boomer at the jackpots? Like, because come springtime and summertime, that sucker doesn't get a day off. We're headed somewhere. He's in the trailer. This is his time to recuperate, get some well-deserved time off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep from running his legs off and keep him sound as long as possible.
Yep.
Okay. So not a ton of setup for you to go over there to the E. And I know you'd mentioned in some other interviews that Boomer kind of changed your style as a breakaway roper. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So a few years ago when I made the NFR in 2020, I was riding a little roan horse and I bought him from Cass Kaiser, and he was just solid and good. And I was just kind of bringing Boomer along, and I would always just ride the roan that I had, and I'd never put Boomer on that stage. And finally, after the NFR of 2020, I was like, I gotta sell this roan horse because I gotta give Boomer a chance. And it's the same for all my horses, but I just had to get rid of that one, and I just went to entering on Boomer, and that was the only one I rode, and we just kind of clicked, and now I'm stuck on that. He's like my crotch rocket. I can go 0 to 100 in 0.2 seconds. And it's hard to want to get off of him and ride anything else now, but that's selling that roan horse is what made Boomer kind of become the horse he was, because I had no other option. I didn't have another solid horse. I all I had was practice horses. Mm-hmm. You just rose to the occasion, and here we are.
Sometimes you have to kind of rip the Band-Aid off a little bit and force yourself into that uncomfortable territory that you think will yield better results.
Exactly. And when it all came down to it, that roan horse that did take me to my first NFR, he is with my best friend now, and she gets to enjoy him and loves him. And so that makes me happy.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect. So let's discuss some more of the specifics with the BFI. I know you said you were seeing hit by, and I mean, you rocked it on that entry, both entries. You came back seventh high call on your second entry and then first high call on your entry you ended up winning with. But you were first in the average by over 2 seconds, which I know it's a long setup, but 2 seconds is a long ways.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't even in, I was in catch mode, honestly. And it just started with me making sure that I was seeing enough and not going to break the barrier. And that horse is so fast that when I got up on him, I was there, so I roped. But I was mainly just, when I started the day, see the start and just go catch him. Well, it ended up being fast, which is good, but that really wasn't my game plan. But that horse closes the gap, and when I'm there, I'm going to throw my rope no matter what kind of situation. But on seventh callback, when I left the box, I blew my right stirrup, but I didn't have it the entire time throughout that run. So I just kept swinging, trying to stay in the middle of him. It's hard for me to ride him with two stirrups, and let alone just one. I felt like the ragdoll up there. And I got to the back end and rode by my husband, and he's like, "What in the heck were you doing, freeing your horse up?" I said, "No, I only had one stirrup and I was trying not to fall off." And then at the high call back, I knew I had to be about 6 seconds, but at that point I was kind of frustrated with my seventh callback performance. And I was like, I got to blitz this one to redeem myself. And it worked out.
As you said, the ultimate crotch rocket.
Yes.
I love what you said about being in catch mode, how it's almost like if you just worry about doing your job, the rest of it's going to take care of itself.
Exactly.
This episode is brought to you by Fastback Ropes. Fastback Ropes was created in 1995 with a single mission in mind, to build the best rope on the market, and that will always be their number one goal. Fastback focuses on building the best product possible and treating customers with the respect they deserve, and that philosophy has served them well for nearly 30 years. Besides being a great company, Fastback features two ropes breakaway ropers love. The Edge is a four-strand calf rope made of texturized poly, and this rope is durable, meaning it stands up in all conditions. Their other rope is the Athena, which is made exclusively for breakaway ropers. It's pink and has a purple poly core, which gives it enhanced tip weight and durability. It's made for all conditions and delivers a snappy loop and close. Thanks to Fastback Ropes for supporting this episode. You can shop Fastback's products on their site at fastbackropes.com. And now it's back to the episode. So for somebody who hasn't heard your story, there's so much that goes into becoming a great roper. What have been some of the things you would consider big parts of building yourself into the roper that you are today?
Oh, you just got to keep going at it. I've had a few girls over at the house recently, and they always ask me if I pin rope a lot, and I said no. We're kind of crunched with time at our house, so we just rope from the chute whenever we get the chance. But you can't ever just give up, and those practice horses are priceless. Those horses, you can back in there and run 15 hit, 20 hit, whatever you need for yourself, just to get the shots in. You got to throw your rope all the time. If you can do it every day, 20 times a day, you're going to get better. But if you go out there and you only got your good horse and you get to run 4 or 5, it's not going to help your rope at all. You got to be in that, throw your rope and catch every time. So you got to have that practice horse that you don't really care about. But he's the most priceless horse that you have, because you know that he will work my stuff for you, and it doesn't matter what he's doing. You just got to rope. Mm-hmm. And you just got to put your whole heart into it. For my whole roping career up until about 2 years ago, it's the most bizarre thing, but I never crossed my rope over in my hand. I'd hold the strands of my rope side by side. And my husband finally saw it one day, and he's like, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe you rope like that." And it was a hard change. Joe Beaver came out and did a clinic out here, and I just rode my horse down the streets and joined in on that clinic. And between Joe and my husband, I now finally crossed my rope over, and it's made a big difference. I didn't know what I was missing out on.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of trial and error, a lot of bad customers, a lot of fighting, but I don't think I could uncross it now.
Mm-hmm. So I know you mentioned the practice horses and their importance. What is the practice horse that we're going to give the shout out to today?
You know, I have quite a few.
Okay.
I have a buckskin mare that was my good head horse. And I just kind of started practicing breakaway on her because I haven't been team roping very much. So I run quite a few on her every day. I got another little sorrel horse, like 13 hands. He's like a pony almost. My husband just bought him, so he's been thrown into the practice string. We have a big gray horse that we raised, and he gets a lot of practice runs. Every day I try to ride about 5 breakaway horses just so that I can get a lot of practice in, especially now. We're fixing to be gone to California. I leave in the morning to go to Salina. Then when I get back, we're off to California. So I have about 6 breakaway horses at the house right now. And I would say that Widowmaker and Madonna take the most practice runs.
Widowmaker and Madonna. There's
Widowmaker, it came with him, and we just haven't changed it. We just never change horses' names. If the owner doesn't say he has a name, then we'll name it. But if they come with one, we try not to change it.
Mm-hmm. So a shout out to the great practice horses. You got riding 5 head a day to rope for yourself is definitely huge.
It is. I have the 5 regular horses that I try to ride, and then we have about 3 colts that we try to ride every day also, just trying to get them going so that when fall rolls around, they're ready to break in steers. And that's kind of, once we're done breaking in those steers, they're ready to either go breakaway rope on or start heading your healing steers. It's just a little circle that never ends at our house. We have probably 25 head of horses that we can ride right now at the house.
That's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
How much do you dummy rope, if at all?
I don't really rope the dummy at all unless we've been gone during the summer. Because our days are pretty packed.
Yeah, you're just trying to get some horses saddled and keep riding.
So during the winter, I'm out there probably at 6:30. I'm on my first horse. kind of dark, but I go gather the calves and start roping, hopefully by 6:45, and we have until 9, and we have to go in and run the roping at downtown. So that's my breakaway time. And then whatever one I don't ride, hopefully I can take to a jackpot that day. But it's kind of hard. And then it gets dark so early at night when we get home. We don't know what time we're going to get home after that. So we just have to get in the practice when we can. But now that the arena's done, we can kind of slow down and take a breath and actually get through all of our courses. But the winter is really hard to get practice in.
Okay. So you mentioned you're going to Salina next. After that, what does your schedule look like?
I'm up at Kingman Slack on the 13th, Logandale the 14th, Red Bluff the 18th, and then Clovis the 22nd. But it's not a lot of downtime. My husband is an addict at team roping, so him and his partner are going to be with us. They got a bunch of team roping jackpots in California, so we'll be going to a bunch of those. They have a jackpot after Slack at Red Bluff for me to rope in. That's about it. And when we get home from Clovis, we're going to go to Clovis, New Mexico in Diamond. And then I'm going to take a little bit of a break and stay home and get some of these younger horses a little further along. Because come Reno time, we won't see home until hopefully after PUL in September.
Okay. Well, you seem like you're running really hard this year. You had a fantastic Rodeo Houston. Are you gunning for the NFBR?
I am. I really want to be in the top 10 in the world come September 30th, the cutoff date, so that I can go to that breakaway in Scottsdale.
Right. Yes, the Kimes breakaway. That is going to be so huge.
Yeah. I when that came about, it really got my wheels turning. I need to get my shit together, get out there.
Well, and then there's the whole Sioux Falls playoff series. There's so many things now, in just in pro rodeo and the circuits. So and
you know, my circuit thing has been a real wreck. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
We moved out to Arizona, and then I kept claiming Columbia River. Like last year, I was one rodeo short to making my rodeo count up there. No, that was 2 years ago. Last year, I did claim the Turquoise, but by entering during the winter rodeos, I didn't get to go to all the circuit rodeos that are close to home right here. So I didn't get my rodeo count in again. And this year, I am dead set to get my rodeo count in and make the circuit finals as well. So I hope I can get my rodeo count in before I go to Reno. Then I don't have to worry about it.
And you're still Turquoise. You're not swapping around anymore.
No, I am just going to stay Turquoise. Because most of those rodeos are within 2 hours to get my rodeo count in of home. So that's a lot easier than driving around.
Yeah. Have you got any in yet?
I have 2 in right now, but I drove when I got home from Houston, I drove to Indio, California. I thought it was the Turquoise Rodeo. Well, it was a second approval, so it doesn't count towards my rodeo count. And I thought I had 3, but I only have 2. But the money counted, but it's not a rodeo count.
You're like, I need the count.
Exactly. It must be a new rule. I'm not real sure. I thought co-approvals with your circuit still counted, but I just need to pay attention. With my husband, team roping, I mean, it's really hard for us to enter because we can't buddy with each other. So, and then having our little girl, it's going to be kind of hectic. I have it this summer.
It's a message to the PRCA and WPRA to prioritize the buddy system for breakaway ropers.
That would be amazing. There's so many of us out there that are trying to buddy with our significant other, our husband, something. And man, it's hard to go everywhere that you want to go when your rigs are split. You're trying to catch a ride here, or I'm calling my mom and dad being like, hey, you need to take me to these rodeos because we are really not close together. It would help out a lot if they would let you buddy.
Will be something to look forward to because I'm sure that it's coming.
I can't wait for that day.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for me. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Is there anything that you'd like to add that we didn't already go over?
Seems like we covered a lot in a short amount of time.
I know. We made up some good ground. We were like Boomer running down the E.
No kidding.
Awesome. Well, it's been great chatting with you. I really appreciate it. And safe travels out to California.
Thank you.
I had no idea Macy's BFI was a spur-of-the-moment decision. She'd been prepping for one of the last winter building setups in San Angelo and then just, whoop, won the BFI on a drastically different setup. I love hearing about her catching mindset, invaluable practice horses, circuit plans, and hopes that the PRCA and WPRA get the breakaway buddy system put together soon. Hopefully y'all enjoyed this interview as much as I did, and you'll want to stay tuned because the California run is right around the corner and Reno will be here before you know it. The Breakdown and the Breakaway Roping Journal are going to continue bringing you all the things breakaway, so make sure you stick around. Special thanks to Fastback Ropes for supporting the Breakdown podcast. We'll see you next time.